Today's scripture is from the New Testament, the book of John, chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. And this reading comes from the New Revised Standard Version. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, a major festival for the Jews, was near. And when he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" Jesus said this to test Philip, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of Jesus' disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. Also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, Jesus told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that Jesus had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is come into the world." God's word for God's people. God is still speaking.
One and only one miracle story is found in all 4 Gospels in our Bible, and this is it. Jesus feeding the 5,000. Starting with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and finishing with 12 baskets of leftovers. Clearly, this is a story that those first followers of Jesus shared again and again, even as we continue to share it again and again. For the gospel storyteller named John, this is one of the many signs that drew crowds to Jesus and inspired people to say, "This indeed is the prophet who is come into the world." Now, perhaps it is easy to imagine how in a first century world, the story of an event as miraculous as this ignited faith in and drew followers to Jesus. Yet our post-Enlightenment minds and scientifically secure spirits now work overtime on a miracle story like this to tease out metaphors of abundance out of scarcity. Generosity, instigated by the sharing of a young child's meager resources. Gratitude, multiplying everything. Enough, enough, there's enough. With God, we always have enough. And leftovers too. As good as all of that is, and it's all there, and it's all good, I still wonder what this miracle story might offer us in this moment as we long to be and become church in new and blessed and powerful ways. My first wondering is how each of the powerful personal testimonies that has been and will be shared in our worship gatherings this summer are not unlike those 5 loaves and 2 fish. Faith, it is sometimes said, is caught, not taught. To hear and receive another's story of faith or testimony is to listen to how God is still speaking, still moving, still creating, still loving, still transforming here and now. There is someone here, and there, and there, and here who has a story of faith, or a question of faith, or an encounter with hope, or a deep longing, or something more. But what are they among so many people? They are, you are, we are bread and life, and more than enough for Jesus to work with. So thank you for your testimonies. Thank you for your lives and your longings and your doubts and your faith. Thank you for having the courage to speak and to share. And for those who are listening, all right, look at this part. You know when it sweats when you get really hot? There's no keeping that on my face. So thank you for your testimonies. And for those who are listening to the testimonies, thank you for the care and the courage it takes to listen deeply and well, to hear and receive the truth of another's life and faith. These are sacred stories and blessed encounters that feed us all. And when we sit down together, make the people sit down, said Jesus in John's account of this story. When we sit down together, creating space, becoming sanctuary, where everyone can be themselves, Jesus takes the loaves and also the fish. Jesus takes you and me, gives thanks to God, and shares us with one another. And together, we are fed, and we become church. Becoming and being church has never been and will never be an individual project. It is always a shared venture, a community effort, where all the parts of the body, as the Apostle Paul wrote, that is the body of the risen Christ, including you and me, where all the parts of the body are welcomed and named and needed and nurtured and valued. Becoming and being a church of our still-speaking God today challenges us to become far more than simply safe space. Becoming and being a church of our still-speaking God today challenges us to become brave space for and with one another. For as important as safety is in creating community free from harm, precisely why we have our safe church policies and practices, affording safety or security from danger, risk, or difficulty is an essential starting place. Yet when we focus solely on creating only safe spaces, we are also less likely to produce, embrace, or honor controversy or contradiction that can help us grow. And we're not as likely to take risks. So I believe it is also possible and even necessary for us to transform church from safe space into brave space when we choose to name, encourage, and hold necessary, helpful, healthy conflict and dialogue and risk, honoring the creative possibilities that emerge from very real differences among us, differences we can celebrate and embrace, and emphasize the need for courage in growing as disciples and followers of Jesus, rather than choosing the illusion or comfort of safety. Creating and becoming brave space includes making room for controversy and disagreement with civility. Unity does not mean uniformity. Giving permission for each person to take care of oneself. Please, please don't insist some tragedy that has just befallen me must be part of God's plan. Brave space means allowing and encouraging challenge and participation by choice. I'm in when I'm ready to be in, whether it's a conversation, a circle of prayer, or a mission activity. Creating and becoming brave space includes mutual respect that again allows for different opinions and beliefs with civility and curiosity and care. Distinguishing between ideas and the people who have those ideas. always owning our own intentions and the impact of our intentions, even unintended ones. Why, I never realized my constant references to God as only Father and He invoke your difficult experiences of your own father, who was so often absent and unloving. When church becomes brave space, we hear and engage the questions of Jesus differently. Questions like, who do you say that I am? What is your name? Why are you afraid? What do you want me to do for you? Do you have anything to eat? Who are you looking for? And those are but a few of the 307 questions posed by Jesus in the span of our four Gospels. When church is a brave space, we covenant, we come together in wonder, in love, in community, and in hope. To live, as Rilke said, the questions. And as Parker Palmer wrote, to be the incarnation that lives at the heart of the Christian journey. When church is a brave space, we come together, offering ourselves as the loaves and fish needed for this space and time. When church is a brave space, we come together hearing Jesus give thanks for us. When church is a brave space, we come together to feed the 5,000 hungers of body, mind, and spirit, real, very real hungers gathered within and around and among us. When church is brave space, we come together to gather up all the fragments of our feasts and our failures, our hopes and our dreams and our lives, and delight in the baskets overflowing with them so that nothing may be lost. When church is brave space, we come together to speak of, to testify to, and to listen for and to the God who is still speaking, to and in and through and among us. When church is brave space, we come together to boldly seek and bravely do God's new thing so that we might live and love like we've never lived and loved before. Please, God, stir among us, even us, that it may be so. Amen and amen.